Okay, thanks, Matthias. So I was asked to share a few thoughts about whether or not we should go to university, and if we do go to university, what are some of the challenges that we would face and how do we best navigate them? So as far as whether we should go to university, probably a blanket statement yes or no is not really helpful or really applicable, because it's going to come down to individual situations. And really, the decision for an individual is going to be influenced by their answers to a lot of related questions. So I thought in the short time we have tonight, we'll just draw attention to some of those related questions. We'll do a bit of brainstorming together, bring in some scriptural principles to help us make those initial answers, and then help to guide us through some of those subsequent decisions down the road if we do decide that university is for us. Does that sound good? Okay. So first of all, in the next 60 seconds, let's brainstorm together all the possible reasons why somebody would get the idea of, I think I should go to university. So it could be good reasons or bad reasons, not necessarily your reasons, but what are the various reasons why people might go to university? Anybody?
Get a job.
Get a better paying job.
Learn for fun.
Sports.
Pursue a passion?
Caleb?
Achieve a greater sense of self-worth.
Self-worth? Okay, good. So I had a few up here. So filler courses, a lot of people that I went to high school with, they went on to post-secondary right away. They didn't know what they wanted to do, but they wanted to stay in learning mode, so they just went and took a bunch of courses. Sometimes there's peer pressure. Everybody else is going to universities or specific universities, so there's peer pressure. Sometimes it might be the parents' expectations that you're going to become a doctor or something to look after them in their old age. It could be pride. Maybe we do want a bit of that alphabet soup on the end of our names that we can add to our email signature or our business cards, right? Could be for the social aspect. A lot of people got scholarships I went to high school with, and they blew it all. They partied it up. Again, they were taking just filler courses. They had the money to burn, and that's what they did. It was just a fun time until money ran out. Some just like learning. Some want a job in a field that they enjoy. Obviously, if you're going to be working for the rest of your life, it's nice if you can do something that you enjoy. And ultimately, especially if you're thinking that if Christ remains away, you'd like to have a family, then you want to be thinking about that. Because if you wait till you've got a family and then have to think about a career, like right now, you might have a great job that while you're living in mom and dad's basement, it's enough money for you and a lot of spending cash, but now try to support a wife and then a kid and then another kid and then two more till you finally have a full-on necklace with one for each kid. Then all of a sudden that great paying job is not going to help, and now you've got to think about post-secondary education when you've already got a lot of commitment. So those are various reasons. I think it's pretty obvious that some of these ones here are not really good ideas. There's other things. If you don't know what you're going to do for school, get a job, go on missionary work, do something useful until you know what you're going to do. So a couple of scriptures to keep in mind. Unfortunate reality is, in the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. So that's part of our curse, is we have to work. We have to find some kind of employment in order to work out our probation here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, if you don't work, don't expect to eat. Paul says that. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, if we don't even provide for our families, then we're worse than an infidel. So there's various applications of those verses to make us think, okay, well, I do have to face up to this decision at some point of what am I going to do for my career? Is university that right path? Next, brainstorming. 60 seconds. What are some various occupations in the Bible? Carpenter, tent maker, shepherd,
soldier.
I don't think you should be a soldier, but true, they have them. Seller of purple, tanner, fisherman, tax collector, gatherer of figs. Who?
Steward.
Priest.
Scribe.
Butler.
Baker.
Candlestick maker. Okay, so here's a few that I had. We got in the Bible, kings, shepherds, doctors, accountants, tax collectors, prophets, farmers, fishermen, carpenters, masons, bakers, metal workers, artists, musicians, teachers, production supervisors, merchants, tent makers, clothing and textiles, woodcutters and plumbers. Where are the plumbers, by the way? Yeah, hewers of wood and drawers of water. And then there's also the people that had to take the refuse outside the camp. So low technology, but they even had plumbers back then. So these are all faithful people who had these different jobs. So where are you going to go to get these qualifications? You could be any one of these. Well, kings is later, but for now, where are you going to go to get this education? Okay, university for some, but not just university. So don't rule out the idea of an apprenticeship. You know, there was a time when, oh, apprenticeship, that's a blue collar. That's like if you're not smart enough to go to university. That's not the case. There are some brilliant people in the trades. And nowadays, as a mortgage broker, I have to review people's financials before I would submit an application to a lender. And I see some people in the trades, and in 4 years, they've gone through, they've got their journeyman status, and they're making $30, $40, $50 an hour after 4 years. So if you're looking for a low-cost education, that's attractive, because you think about a lot of people coming out of university, and they're coming out with $10, $20, $30, $40,000 student loans, and then not necessarily getting a job. You're earning while you're learning. So again, apprenticeship is not the only way. University still may be the path. I went to university, but don't rule out this option. There are some great paying options. It's very versatile, very flexible. Any ideas of pros and cons of these? Yeah, so there may be. On the negative side, some of the trades are much more physically demanding. So when you start to get older, you may not want to be swinging a hammer, right? Hopefully you get into more of a management position by then. But yeah, there's lots of pros and cons to both. A nice part about this is if Christ remains away, I can be a really old man and continue to sit behind a desk and crunch numbers. So I don't have to be physically fit. Owen? Yeah, excellent. Yep. You could take advantage of those relationships. So the big point here is that if you look at all the faithful individuals in the Bible, you have people at the top of society, right down to perhaps more humble jobs. But Hebrews 11 tells us that these all died in faith. And I think one thing that we come away with from this week, any studies we go to, is it doesn't matter what you're doing, your career has nothing to do with how well God can use you in his service. The big thing is whether we have that as our one focus, that we are servants of the Most High God, and this really is our part-time job. So what is the full, who knows what they're doing for a full job, full-time job? Okay, if I add this picture, anybody know what this picture is from? Jonah. So why would I put this picture here? So Jonah chapter 1, verse 8. Somebody want to read that? This is the mariners. They come to Joseph and to Jonah, and they ask him several questions. Somebody with a bellowing voice want to read that out? What's your occupation? What's your job? Where do you come from? What's your country? What people are you? What was his answer? So, what could he have said instead of a Hebrew? Well, you asked what country I came from. I actually came from the land of Canaan. He could have blended in as a Canaanite, right? He didn't. I'm different. He adopted the name that people called Abraham when he came over. You're not one of us. You are a Hebrew. So he did not blend in. He was a separate person. So I'm a Hebrew. And as far as my job, my vocation, I fear Yahweh. I'm a servant of the Most High God. That was Jonah's full-time job. Obviously, he had a whole lot more, but that's what the scriptures highlight as his answer to those questions. And so when we start thinking about our careers, let's not forget that whether you're a doctor or whether you're a plumber or whether you are outstanding in your field, like a farmer, that was a joke. That's your part-time job. Our full-time occupation is a servant of the Most High God. And so that's why really what it talks about, we were talking about, should I go to university? It depends what your motivation is. If you see it as just a side job, that you're just trying to get into a secure side job so you can focus on your main vocation, which is a servant of the Most High God, well then it could be a good avenue. So, when you go to universities, anybody know what U of C might stand for? Could be University of Canada, could be California. It should be the University of Christ. But scriptures tell us that universities ultimately are a worldly institution. So if we decide to go there, we need to keep that in mind. This is a worldly institution. So when's the first universities we start to hear about in the Bible? U of C first, I think, University of Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain did not want the truth. He wanted to do things his own way. And of his own choice, he left. He went out from them. And those of the like mindset went with him. What did they do? They built cities. And then for some weird reason, we have this next section of verses all about people who became experts. And this was the father of all those who build instruments. And this was the father of this person. They built cities and they changed their focus of life from the simple life that was introduced in the garden to now these other industries, which in themselves are not wrong, but there's a different focus. And so later on, there's a U of B that Tim just mentioned. That would be the University of Babylon. So what happened in Daniel chapter 1? Well, they took the best minds in Israel, the children of the kings, and they sent them to the Babylonian universities to learn all the wisdom of the Babylonians, to learn the tongue, the language of, they even changed their name. What does Daniel's name mean? God is my judge. And they took that away and they tried to put a Babylonian in that memorializes the Babylonian gods. In essence, that's exactly what you should expect the pressure to be when you go to university. So you have to be very clear in your mind of what's your goal. I'm here to get the skill set that I need to get out there and potentially support my family, be able to be active in the truth. That's why I'm here. And so you don't want to get distracted by that pressure. You're going to have those pressures. So some scriptures to keep in mind. Who knows what 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals. You will be influenced. Whether you're in the workforce or going to school, you are influenced by the company you keep. Whether you want to or not, you will be influenced by it. And James 4, verse 4, what does that say? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. I'm going to harp upon this right now because of something which haunts me to this day. Because I didn't speak out when I saw a good portion, I dare say a majority of my peers throughout this province that I would meet at Christadelphian gatherings who left the truth because of their involvement with the world. And I didn't have the courage to say, even to my very best childhood friend, I didn't have enough courage to be firmer or more open with the choices he was making. So whether it's clubs, just hanging out with them all the time, sports, they are going to have an incredible pull upon you. Don't put that temptation upon yourself. Remember that your full-time job is a servant of the Most High God. Don't put that unnecessary distraction before you, especially if you're going to university. When you've got all these extra homework assignments, you don't really have time to be occupied with the world's company when really your ecclesia still needs you. You don't put God on hold in order to get your education. So commit to being separate. Have a quick look in Daniel chapter 1, just to see how that went down. So just very briefly, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, so talking about taking the king's seed, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding sciences, such as had ability in them. So they already had wisdom from the land of Israel, the Holy Land, and they took them now to impress upon them the learning of the Chaldeans. Jump down to verse 7. He changed their names to Daniel, whose name is God is my judge, he tried to stamp on him Belteshazzar, a name of one of their gods. In verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Now, as one of the sons of the kings of Israel, do you not think that he would have had access to good food and to wine in appropriate measure? He would have had access to all that, but he was not going to get involved in the partying and the lifestyle that was being offered to them in Babylon. And so you look at the results of this. So he asked to be separate. And by the time you get down to verse 17, for example, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. So they excelled not because of